start of another new week. How's it going for you so far? We want to know. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and we're so glad you joined us. We hope you get to spend the entire hour with us and hope you learn something new, a little bit about yourself and the world around you, and we grow a little bit closer to God. That's what Take Two is all about, by your phone calls. Your phone calls make the difference. You are the teachers. We're just kind of here along for the ride, right, Jerry?
Yeah, more or less.
But it's
we've got the easiest show
years.
On Catholic yeah. radio. Yeah, right. It is truly your show, though, so please drive it with your take today. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. If we ask for a show of hands of how many people don't deal with today's topic, there would be no hands that go up in the air. Right, Debbie, we're talking
Very
about
true.
How do we deal with life's pressures?
Oh, life's pressures. I know. There's so many of them.
They are.
And it seems like it gets worse as every year that we journey on this earth. It's just amazing. It's what technology is supposed to make our lives easier. It seems to make things a little bit harder, doesn't it? So how do you deal with life's pressures? Do you run away? Do you try to schedule in time to relax and rejuvenate? How do you do it? Do you pray all day? We want to know. We genuinely are interested in your life because it helps us. Remember, we're the mystical body of Christ, so we journey together. So will you call in and tell us how you deal with life's pressures today? Would you do that for us at 833-288-3986? Boy, oh boy, did we have a busy, busy weekend. Are you right, Jerry? Unbelievable.
Unbelievable indeed. I know many people are already aware of and praying for the Kobe Bryant family and the other passengers and pilots on that helicopter crash yesterday. I was awake a lot during the night thinking about that, Debbie. And one of the things that kind of came over me was actually a bit of joy. And what I mean is, I did not know that Kobe Bryant was Catholic, a practicing Catholic, went to daily mass often. And it was a priest who, a visit with a priest to kind of help turn his life around a few years ago when he was going through kind of a down period in his life. And I understand from news reports that he had attended mass yesterday morning as the last thing he did before going to the helicopter. So that gave me, I said, thank you, Jesus. I realized that, hey, we're all going to die someday. This is tragic the way this happened. But it was still a little bit, there was still a little bit of a peace in my heart and joy by thinking, okay, I didn't realize he was close to God, apparently. So that's a very good thing.
Well, and I'll tell you, there's so many things floating around Facebook. I mean, constantly, everybody's sharing different snippets of articles they've read or people that have encountered the Bryant family or things that were on TV. I guess he had some late night appearances where he talked about his family and his daughter, Gianna. I share that with you, Jerry, of this feeling of, you know, thank goodness he was, you know, in church and he was a practicing Catholic, you know, before the good Lord called him home. And my heart breaks that Gianna, only being 13 years old, but you know, she did pass with her dad. So there's an element of comfort there. My heart breaks for Vanessa, his wife, and his three other daughters, that are, you know, I think he's got a 17-year-old, like a 3-year-old and a 7-month-old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my
yeah.
goodness, that baby will never know her daddy, and it just, my heart just breaks. And so I know that everybody's sending prayers around the whole entire Bryant family. The world is actually, you know, remembering his great legacy and everything in basketball, but they're also remembering his family, which is really good.
Yeah, well, our topic today, how do you deal with life's pressures? You've got to believe that athletes go through a lot of pressure-packed situations, but What about you and me, us ordinary folks here? What are some of the pressures you deal with, and how do you approach them? There are people today listening, Debbie, who are just feeling a mountain of pressures upon them, and they just don't know what to do. So, dear friends, Take Two family, when you call and share how you have hopefully successfully managed to work your way through some of life's pressures and deal with them in a particular way, you are going to be teaching and instructing your fellow listeners, your fellow family members. So make that call. 833-288-3986.
Well, this is how we, meaning me and Marty and I, how we deal with life's pressures. We kind of get a grip on things. And what we mean by that is when this whole thing was transpiring with Kobe Bryant in the helicopter crash, we didn't know about it. My husband and I had disconnected. We went to Mass in the morning, and we had disconnected from our phones. And we actually went on a family and friend cemetery tour where we go and we visit. I'm going to get emotional. We visit friends and family members that have passed before us. And we just thank God that they were here and what they left on this earth. And we also, you know, visit some, we went to a veterans cemetery as well. And it was just, wow, it was so overwhelming. We just were thanking everybody for their military service and just walking along. And the grave sites were so beautiful, well manicured. It was just, it was really beautiful to be a part of. And we didn't know. And we got back in the, and it just reminded us that life is so short. And, you know, we have to take each moment and meet, for it to be just precious, you know, that we are even breathing. We're still vertical, right, Jerry? And then I happened to just turn on the phone, and here comes all the messages. Kobe Bryant's, you know, plane, airplane, helicopter crash. And this, I turned to Marty. I said, oh, my goodness, when we were visiting all these cemeteries, he had passed. And it was just, and but I'll tell you what, it's a real good reminder, Jerry, that life is precious and life is short, and we really do have to try to keep these pressures at bay. Would you agree with that? I mean, these pressures can really, I mean, they can cause us to have a disease. They can kill us early.
They can be very, very serious in a lot of ways. So we want to know today, dear friends, how you deal with various pressures of life. These could be financial. They could be in relationships, at work, raising your kids. You could have spiritual pressures. Maybe you're trying to do God's work in your life and the devil's kind of hassling you a little bit. A coworker, a neighbor. What do? Do you pause? Do you take a deep breath? Obviously, do you pray? Do you do what you do from a human standpoint, what you can do? Maybe, like Debbie said, she and Marty were talking about it. Do you and your spouse talk things through? Maybe you've turned to some of the unhealthy ways of coping with stress, and you want to share how that was not the right path to take, and God has maybe brought you back out of that. And we're talking, of course, about things like maybe drinking or drugs, workaholism, pornography, things like that. So this is a wide open conversation, folks. None of us is immune from the pressures of life. So what do you do to make sure they don't get the best of you? That's what we're talking about today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. When we come back, Angela and Jeff are ready to go. And we've got another phone line that is open and waiting just for you right now at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Deal with life's pressures, and we're asking you to weigh in with your how you conduct yourself and how you deal with it. We really need your help. You're the teacher here. 833-288-3986. Okay, just a couple reminders. Very important. Today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And please, folks, take some time. You know, the history channels have so many things on right now about the Holocaust. It would really help for all of us to watch some of this live footage of what really happened with the 6 million Jews and the 5 million, other fine souls that were taken. 11 million. I mean, it's so hard to even fathom what happened. But we must remember, we must continue to learn. I just learned something last night about how Hitler, you know, really relied on the occult to help him mastermind a lot of things. I never even realized some of it. I'm a World War II buff. I read everything on that. It's just, so the things are still coming out that we can learn and understand and grow from. So please remember this day. Also to the Journey Home with Marcus Grodi tonight, 9 Eastern time on EWTN radio and television. Please, if you've never watched the Journey Home or listened to the Journey Home, you must. Marcus Grodi does a great, great job at making available for us the stories of folks that have come home. Beautiful. Love that show. Okay. Oh, okay. One more thing, real quickly, Kristen.
Yes.
I always talk about Kristen, my friend since I was 3 months old. She's really a sister. Today is her birthday, and so for just about 10 months out of the year, she is that much older than me, and I remind her of it for 10 months, and I just love it. So today is her birthday. So Kristen, I know you listen. So happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Kristen.
Oh, that's sweet. She's in North Carolina.
Okay, we're talking about how do you deal with life's pressures. They're out there. They're coming at us all the time. They can get us down, but they don't have to. So we want to hear what your strategies are. And Angela called in first, so you get to go first in Mooresville, North Carolina, listening on Charlotte Catholic Radio and a first-time caller to take two. Hi, Angela. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me, and happy birthday, Kristen.
there you go.
My heart just breaks for what the Bryant family and all the other seven people that were killed yesterday. And, it's really sad. It's really hard, but, it's I haven't dealt with the loss of a child, but almost did, from a car accident that was on the highway. And it was just devastating, absolutely devastating. And all I can tell you in my heart is that I know the only person to turn to is my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. On my knees and just giving it to the cross to Him and asking Him, surrendering it into His hands for Him to handle. And whenever I'm trying to keep it to myself, you know, it goes on, and it's like, but as soon as I take and I surrender it into His hands, change happens. Peace comes upon me. Going to adoration also is another one. As I was driving home from the hospital from my daughter having 3 surgeries from that car accident, I'm like, Jesus, I just need time with You. And it was almost like automatically my car pulled off and went into St. Mark's Catholic Church where they have 24-hour adoration. Mm-hmm. And there was such peace that I can't even tell you after going through a very not knowing what was going to happen, whether my daughter was going to live or die. And just peace just was mm-hmm. completely filling me just by being adoration and in His presence. I don't know how I can tell you more. The Word of God. Whenever I'm asking, you know, God, what do I do? Please speak to me. The living faith, Catholic devotions always speaks to me. And what's going on? I mean, He's just always there. He's mm-hmm. always there. He knows how many cares are on our heads. He knows everything.
Right, Angela. How is your daughter now?
Praise God. She's great. She's great. I had 3 physicians come in and tell me, you know, we saw something on on her spine and I said, no, she's fine. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, there was nothing wrong with her and, with her spine. And she jumps higher. She can jump higher now than before the accident. She has 3 broken bones in her leg.
Wow.
It's just, praise God. It's praise all glory God. To Him.
It is. Well, Angela, a couple things. May I comment? First of all,
sure.
your name is Angela, so you're named after the angels, which is another reminder how we have our guardian angel with us always, you know. And
that's right.
Will always help us. You're so blessed. I always said people who are named Angela are just, they're incredibly, have a little added blessing there, which is so beautiful. The other thing, too, is at the beginning of the year, Jerry and I, we try to take on something of a kind of a spiritual devotion, if you will, to catapult us in our faith journey and to help us and to challenge us as exercises. And Jerry and I both chose Jesus, You Take Over, the Surrender Novena. And I'm actually holding up the little pamphlet book right now. And it when you were speaking about surrendering, it really reminded me of this idea of this constant practice of surrendering to God. And it was so interesting, Angela. You know, I've been in religious education for over 30 years. I have a graduate graduate degree in theology, and I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying you would think that
no,
I would have.
No, you're just saying you know. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. You would think I would have known this. And it just, it was, you know how sometimes when you hear something and you go, wait a minute, I've heard this a million times before, but it just penetrated at a different level. I was reading something on the internet recently, an article that was published by a priest, and he was talking about if you really want to have that true connection, that true experience of communicating back and forth in a prayer. You know, everybody says prayer is talking to God. Well, if you really want the communication back, you must be in the presence of adoration, the tabernacle or Eucharistic adoration. And it was like, I mean, I've heard this a million times before, but for some reason it just went, I went, oh my goodness, he's so right. And it makes me go, it makes me think mm-hmm. back to Deacon Harold Brooke Sivers, when I heard him speak one time, and he talked about how on his phone he has savior.org, which is the real-time adoration app on his phone, and then I quickly downloaded it. I know Jerry did as well. And I'm thinking, so true. I mean, with this connection mm-hmm. that we crave is right there yeah. in adoration. So Jerry, I just had to comment on that, Jerry. I'm thinking to myself, you know, what a beautiful way with technology, what a great way to use technology if we can't get actually to an adoration chapel, you know, next right, best right. thing.
Savior.org?
Savior.org, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's just beautiful. But it's just, the thing is, I just feel like I never feel alone. I mean, I know he is always there, and he's always been there through my life. And I even, you know, through going confession, another one, you know, carrying something for 30 years and went to confession. And the priest says, just give it. Don't be afraid. Just give it to Jesus. And I heard Jesus say, it is finished. And from that point on, you know, I knew there was no going back there. It was very, this is done. I paid for it. And it's like, praise God. I mean, he's just always there. He's always there. He never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. And even though we want to take, you know, that worry back, just put it right back. Give it right back into the Savior's arms. And God just, he just takes it. But we've got to surrender it all to him for him to take it. And he just loves us so much, and he never gives up on us. And yeah. I'm just so grateful, and I praise him, because yeah. he's, I just can't imagine, you know, anything without him, because he's because he's wonderful.
Your love for him is very, very evident, Angela, and I'm a little bit jealous in a good sort of way. I wish I really had that deep fervor. I try and build that every day. But you're right, the surrender, Jesus has been through everything that we could possibly go through, mm-hmm. except he did not sin. You know, Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. So he has been there, done that, and he conquered it. Jesus won the victory, Angela, that's what you're talking about. And if we just say, Jesus, you take care of it, that's the key line in the surrender novena, the one that you repeat over and over in the novena is, Jesus, you take care of everything. Then Debbie, he does. He takes over. He's just waiting for us to hand him the wheel of the car, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Angela, your call was so beautiful today. It was perfect to lead off this discussion. And I think it's going to help so many souls, because we live in a world right now where everybody's trying to push God away. They're trying to take him out of our view. And you, with your living witness, brought it right back into view for all of us. So thank you, Angela. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day in the beautiful state of North Carolina. I love North Carolina. I think it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I've only driven through it, but I know a lot of people actually who have moved there because of the beauty and the cost mm-hmm. of living and just the healthy living there. So thanks, Angela. Appreciate
thanks,
that.
Thanks, Angela.
We're asking you today, how do you deal with life's pressures? Again, these can be on the job, at home, relationships, health, finances. Sometimes we turn to things that are not healthy for us, and we need to kind of find our way out of those. But there are a lot of healthy ways of doing this, and we're hearing that, such as what Angela does. And now we want to hear what Jeff says in New Bedford, Massachusetts, listening on Sirius XM 130, and another first-time caller. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, welcome. Thank you. Yeah, this is I'm a little nervous. I've never kind of done this before, but I find that prayer is the alternative to all these other things that you might want to do to alleviate the stress. I have a lot of stress. I'm a father. I helped a Jesuit priest out in Haiti to get some hospital equipment going. And lo and behold, I met a Haitian nurse out there, and we fell in love in that brief time. And then we had to go through the government to get her here, and it's very hard to get anybody to a third world country. So we began, I started this steady prayer and with my Jesuit friend, and I noticed it was like a heartbeat. We have a high, then a low, a high, then a low. And I said, God, we have like a heartbeat going on this. And eventually we did get her, and I have three children with her, and they're wonderful, two boys and a girl. And so I have a life over in Haiti as well. You know, they're impoverished. So I'm from a rich nation to a poor nation. And there's a lot of people that will come and they'll ask you, you know, can you help them? And there was a gentleman who gave me $1,000 American, and they only make peanuts. And it was to get engine parts. Well, I found out that I had a friend that had that I could get engine parts for. And I showed him, and it's from a 1964 Mack truck. But I said to him, this is from Haiti. If they can get this going, he'll have an economy. He'll be able to support his family. So it was going to... It was going to cost $1,200. I kick in the $200. I get the parts. It's in my barn. Lo and behold, it's going to cost an extra $1,000 to bring it over there. So I start praying to the Lord. I says, I can't afford $1,000 to give to this. I've already put in two. You know, I said, I'm in a dilemma. And then lo and behold, someone says to me, there's a container ship that they're putting equipment in to bring it over to Haiti. So I contacted the person that was in charge of it and said, do you need any extra hands that can help you put that container ship together? He said, we could. I said, could I put a small little container that has the engine parts? He agreed. So I was able to get that in. I helped them. I met some wonderful friends. And so that's just one experience that, you know, through God, and you actually see these things working. And sometimes I'm multitasking. There's several things going on. Now, I work right close by that was an abortion clinic here in New Bedford. So I love prayer. Someone saw me praying in the church. They introduced me to the breviary. I know, Father, you're well aware of what that is. And so I've been doing that since 2001. So I would go out to that corner at break time, and I would pray with the breviary, you know, daytime prayer. And I would see people coming in. Of course, my wife is black. I'm white. And I saw a black man and a white woman coming out with a child going into that clinic. And all I could think of was my son. My wife and I, with my son, saying, come on, William, we're going to go kill your brother James now, you know, and I just bawled like a baby. So praying for that, and lo and behold, that abortion clinic closed. I saw the doctor come in one time with in a BMW, it was either a fancy car, BMW or a Mercedes. I said, Doc, you spent all this time, all this education, this is what you want to do it on to eliminate life. And we would tell people going in and say, look, there's an alternative. You know, you're putting a mill around your daughter's neck. And someone would come up very mad. Who was going to pay? But we had a car ready to take them, and there would be someone to love them. So again, through this prayer, so it's not only that you're praying for the abortion, but you say, God, give me strength. Somehow, some way I can help someone. And so that's happened. And I've many, many stories like that. And it's just wonderful. So although it doesn't eliminate stress, it helps you deal with them. And whether it's, you know, I have the three children, my wife, and I have my mother-in-law that finally came here. It took months and months, but finally we were able to get her here. And since then, she's got a job here now. She's happy. She had a bad injury over in Haiti, and her knee had to be replaced. And my wife, who had some cancer that would have really destroyed her in Haiti, it's all cured. There's just so many wonderful things and so many. And when you do that, you meet other people, and we pray together whenever there's a problem, and you can feel that intensity. So that's really, there is no stress after that, you know?
Right. So even Jeff, though you hold on just for a second, Jeff. You're going to hear this little bit of a music here. That means that we need to let our local stations take care of a little bit of hometown business there on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. But I've got an interesting, you've given me an insight, Jeff, that I want to share. It's not really an insight, but I'll share it when we come back. And Debbie, I know, has some things to say. Beautiful, Jeff. You said at the start you were nervous. Brother, you're inspiring us like nobody's business. So, Jeff, hang on there in New Bedford. We'll be right back. It's your Monday Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and thanks to the show team. Rich is back with us. Jeff is on social media. Ryan is on the phones. And thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. And we're talking with Jeff, who is in New Bedford, Mass., and he has just shared a lot of just beautiful, beautiful accounts, Jeff, of how when you turn to prayer, God has just been there for you and blessed you in so many ways. And first of all, praise God that your wife was able to come over from Haiti, and you've got the beautiful family now and your mother-in-law. So thank you for persevering in that. The thought that came to me, and this is a very, Debbie, you'll know this very well, it's a very common theological maxim. Sometimes it says grace builds on nature. Other people say grace perfects nature. And Jeff, you are living proof that what you're doing, first of all, you're praying. That's the grace part, okay? You're praying, God, do everything that you possibly can, but then God expects us to take the next step and the next step and the next step, and thus perfecting or bringing to completion the works that we undertake for him. So God's grace, Debbie, is the key to all of this. We can work our fingers to the bone, and if we're not bringing God's grace into all of this like Jeff is doing, it's going to be fruitless in the end.
I couldn't agree more. And Jeff, I just wanted to add quickly, you know, you started off when we greeted you, you said you were a little bit nervous. I think sometimes for men especially, especially when they're talking about their prayer life and what they do from a spiritual perspective, they can get a little nervous because I find it It always interests me, Jeff, that men sometimes struggle with this idea of prayer. They don't really know how to express it, how to communicate it. And I have found in all the years of religious education that I've been in that men that pray are the strongest men I've ever met. They are so strong because they realize that the strength comes from the Holy Spirit. And through that, they are able to do so much more than they could do on their own. Okay, because we know when we do things on our own, everybody messes everything up. We can never control it. But when we draw our strength through the Holy Spirit and we can pray and pray on a regular basis, especially men to do that, the strength is unbelievable. And it shows throughout their lives. Jeff, can you want to comment a little bit about that and also what Jerry said before we let you go?
Yes, you're so right that my strength, I think Paul said, when I'm weakest, that's when I'm the strongest type of thing. It is true. It gives, when you pray and you ask for the purpose of or how I can, let's put it this way. I'm 61, and over the years, I love food, and I started to gain weight. So one day, I had to get sleep apnea, which is a machine that you have to breathe on when you sleep at night because there was fat around my neck. And then I had to get a cholesterol pill because I had, you know, cholesterol. And then I had to get allopurinol because I had joint. And then they wanted to put me on metformin with a diabetes. So I finally said to the doctor, what's going on every year? And he says, you need to lose weight. And then you'll be better. So I tried to lose weight. I lost about 10 pounds and I went back up to 10 pounds. And it was like a cat chasing its tail. So I started to pray and I said, you know, Lord, and then I said, I know there's a doctor that takes it out. They suck it out, lipo, you know. So I went to see him. He says, unfortunately for you, you have fat in the organs. You need to find a doctor. You need to find to get rid of it. So I shrugged it off, and then I had a physical, and my doctor says the same thing. You need to get this fat out of your organs. So I finally, working at a hospital, I was able to find a doctor that covers weight management, and I went to see her, but I had to go through a dietitian first. The dietitian says you should join a weight management program. So I did, but now here we go. I prayed the breather every morning, 4:30 in the morning, and I started to fast before this problem. And so between fasting and with the doctors, I was able to have the strength. And today I'm 150 pounds, no sleep apnea machine anymore, no pills, no statins, nothing. And I feel a lot of energy, and between fasting and exercising and eat correctly. So God gives me the insight to put me in contact with the people needed. And these are the answers to the prayers. And these will happen, and it works wonderful. But you also meet another people that see you, and they ask you about it. And, of course, I always put God first. I said, well, I'm a prayerful person, and through prayer, this, he brought me through this. And you give this direction. And, again, I bless myself to give praise to the Lord. I'd rather offend someone next to me than God. But right. I don't find that anybody, they're all respectful. So sometimes it's Satan coming in or one of his disciples who try to throw something at you. And if you just break it down to the real cause, you know, the root of what you need to do or where you want to go in a prayerful way through the Lord, then he'll make, and when he wants it, it'll happen fast, very, very fast. One quick thing, too, I wanted to tell you before I go.
Real quick, Jeff, real quick. I got a full phone lines here.
All right, real fast. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll let it go. It'll be at another time then. So God bless you. Thank you for DW. Go ahead.
We're going to hold you. We're going to hold you to that phone call, that future phone call, Jeff, okay? We're going to hold you to it.
All right.
All right?
All right.
God bless you, brother. Thank you. God bless you. Wow. I'm just pumped up after that call, Debbie.
Me too. So many
good things. But, you know, you see, he just sought the Lord, really trusted in the Lord, knew that the Lord had the power, the ability, mm-hmm. and the desire to help him get his life more in order and have these beautiful things happen. Hey, we're going to have challenges. We're going to have ups and downs mm-hmm. and trials and all of that. But, you know, if we follow that that pattern, that routine of praying, trusting in God, and then doing all that we can bring about good things, better things in our lives.
And he's being an example to others, and he's sharing his prayer life with others. That is huge. I love that. And Jeff, you and the others, you can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. We promise to read everything. We may not at this point because we get an abundance of emails, which is great. It's a great problem to have. We love it. We welcome it. We're part of the Take Two family. But we read everything. We may not be able to reply to each and every email that comes in. But you can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. Okay, let's hear what Jade has to say. And Jade is in Houston, Texas, also a first-time caller listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Jade. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Jade.
I am doing well. Let's see. The subject is how to handle stress, right?
You got it.
Or kind of? Okay.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, let's see. The first thing that I do is I try not to procrastinate on things. If they need to get done, they need to get done, and you have to do them. Because that's where a lot of stress comes out, because we got so many things. The world bombards us with a lot of things. And then on top of that, we have our family, and then we have things that we need to do, and we never do them. But one thing that I usually tell people is if you have lots of problems, I usually break them down, and I get to the easiest ones first. And then once I get to the easiest ones first and those are all gone, then I start tackling the biggest ones, the hardest ones, the most difficult ones. And because those take a lot longer to resolve, right? And the second thing, you know, it's so easy to pray, and it's so easy because I tried these tactics. I tried them. We pray in the morning, but then we're on the road, and then we see things, and then we, you know, we just don't know really how to cope with them. So I remember Dr. Amen, a lot of these things, they have to do with our mind, with our brain. And once you do things for 21 days or however long God tells you, then it's going to be when you learn to do things like me, when you learn to do the difficult things that God tells you to do, the next time it's going to be easier, and then it's going to become easier and easier, and then you're not going to have any problems. You might have them just a little bit, but they're not going to be as difficult. See, we have to train our mind, and that's what I do every day. In the morning, I pray, and I tell God, God, let us see things through your eyes, not through other people's eyes, so that we could help them. And see, we have to train our mind to do that. So, and because one thing that our Lord and Savior, Jesus is not here with us, okay? However, he left us examples. He spoke to everybody with, they're called parables, And when he would speak in parables, he would throw this out. And people were like, what are you talking about? And he would get their attention. He never argued with people. He always listened. And I always say, we have two ears and one mouth. And so sometimes people just want to blow off a lot of steam. And you're the person that God, you know, God trusts. I think of it like this. God trusts me enough to put people in front of me because I have my own radio program also. And believe me, I get a lot of smoke from a lot of people. But God trusts you enough to listen to that person, understand them, and say, whoa, okay, no matter what it is. I mean, how many times, you know, and we could pray, we could do all this, but sometimes it works and sometimes, I mean, you have to be honest. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work because we could be prayed up until, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and then something just triggers us off or see, the devil is so schemish. He's so smart, and he knows where to hit. And we have to, like this man was saying on y'all's radio program not too long ago, that you have to be aware, you have to note where you fall short, and you have to ask God, give me the strength to in an area that you fall short, to give me the strength. And every time you ask God to give you strength in some place, he's going to test your faith. He's going to test it. I mean, he's going to test you to the limit.
Well, and he then, is, Jade. I've got a couple thoughts in my mind here, Jade, and I'm as Debbie and I always like to joke, I'm advancing in age, and so before this falls out of my head, I just wanted to share a couple things. First of all, when you said you have your own radio show, I was hearing something in your voice, and I was hearing your delivery and your articulation and how eloquent you are. And it didn't immediately come to my mind that you had a radio show. But when you said you did, I kind of went, now I understand why. But you know, the thing you touched upon early, and this is a real problem for me, and that's procrastination. And what happens when we procrastinate is we've got this pressure coming at us from this side, this pressure here, these other pressures over here. And if we don't consistently take action, and are we not consistently taking care of these pressures and dealing with them, then they can become overwhelming. Then frustration can get in there, even a little bit of anger. And then pretty soon you just say, to heck with it, you know? And so I think what you said about, you know, procrastination and then dealing with the easier things first, Debbie, these are simple, but I think very, very profound ways of taking care of some of the pressures in life.
Absolutely. Great practical measures, Jade. Thank you so much. And thank you for the work that you do on the radio as well. But Jade, I wanted to comment real quickly about something about prayer, because I was talking about how in the catechism, there's over 300 paragraphs dedicated to Christian prayer. And I wanted to just comment about what I had learned about prayer many years ago from a very, very wonderful priest who just, and he's gone home now to meet the Lord. So I'm hoping that he has just great eternity, because he did great work here on earth. And Jade, what he used to talk about in prayer is, you know, we can plead, we can pray, we could yell out and shout out to God, right? But so many times the missing element to prayer is this idea of very strong trust. And Mother Teresa knew it very well. You know, she used to pray the memoraries to the Blessed Mother because she needed immediate help on things. And then she would say, she would already thank the Blessed Mother because she had so much trust in what the Blessed Mother could do to intercede, to help her, you know, receive the things she needed according to God's will. And I'll tell you what, that's the thing I think sometimes we miss. We're shouting out to God, but we're missing that element of reminding ourselves to trust, to completely trust in God and trust in his word. And I think that takes a great determination and a real strong disposition, especially in this world, because we are getting bombarded by satanic things all around us. I mean, you could just turn on the TV and you think you're watching an innocent show and it turns out to be something very demonic. Okay. And so it's happening all around us. So we have to constantly remind ourselves. And I just think it's really important that we remember that in prayer, because there is that phase of calling out to God, but then there's also this idea that we have to train ourselves, if you will. So real quickly, Jade, real fast, because we do have full phone lines. Any comment on that?
No, you hit it right on target. You were just right on target. And just one more quick thing is just don't bottle up any emotions that you have. Let the person say whatever they have to say and just let them know. I mean, a lot of people, they just don't want to say, you hurt me. That hurts. And just let them know how you hurt them. 9 out of 10, they're going to see you again and they're going to say, hey, I'm sorry, I exploded. But let them know. Don't bottle anything up. Because that's the worst thing a person could do. Say it in love, just like our Heavenly Father does, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
And thank you, Jade. You got a beautiful, beautiful spirit. We're so glad that you listened. And our first-time caller, you'll never be a first-time caller again, but we hope you will be a caller again sometime to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Talking about dealing with life's pressures here on Take Two today. And we'll get right back to the calls. We still have Regina and Mary and Sergio waiting to get to. Our friend John sent this email. Debbie says, good afternoon. I wanted to take a moment to weigh in. As someone who came back to the faith and struggles with same-sex attraction, I find that listening to EWTN through the day really helps. It helps to keep my mind focused and a reminder that all I need is Christ. Take care, John.
Beautiful, John. Beautiful.
Always love hearing from you, brother.
Yes. I want to say something real quickly, Jerry, about pressure real fast before we get to Regina. Regina, hold on real quickly. I just wanted to say something about our guardian angels. You know, Padre Pio knew this so well. Padre Pio was bombarded with people wanting his attention. They sent letters in different languages and they wanted a little piece of him or a little connection with him. And what did he do? He utilized his friendship with the guardian angels to help him in his ministry. We have that same beautiful gift available to us. All we have to do is cultivate our relationship with our guardian angel, acknowledge that they're there, pray the guardian angel prayer, Psalm 91 we can meditate on, and then we can ask our guardian angels to help us to get rid of some of this pressure that we're feeling. I've done it many times. I believe me when I tell you this, I feel so many times some of the papers I have written for classwork, I think they were done by my guardian angel. Because they certainly weren't, it wasn't my talent, it was theirs. It's pretty amazing. And I really believe that we have this heavenly help if we would just, take time to recognize it. Okay, Regina in Stuart, Florida, listening on the EWTN app. Welcome to Take Two.
Hello. Hi, Debbie and Jerry.
Hi, Regina.
I'm calling in as Regina, which is my confirmation name, so I do that sometimes. But you also know me as Terry, and I emailed, I think, Jerry, to Take Two yesterday. I was just really overwhelmed when I heard the news about Kobe Bryant. And it's really made me think of, I just think of the children today, we all know, are under probably the most stress of all of us. You know, those of us who are advanced in years, we've been carrying things, but we look at the world. And I just think, I remember myself, it reminded me myself how when I was young, what a great thing basketball was in my life. To go out and bounce that ball and slam it against the boards, and what it means to be on a team and to belong. Perhaps things aren't always, you don't always feel like you're belonging at home, and I just felt like I for some reason I did know about Kobe's Catholicism. I have a information in my brain. I don't know where it all comes from, but I was aware of that and I looked it up. And then when I saw, I didn't realize the extent of his family. So just emotionally, I was devastated for them. And it just hit me, I'd been watching the life marches in San Francisco and, the importance of every precious life. His life was large and wonderful. And the loss of his daughter and the fact that her name was Gianna, I mean, I was just grieving with the family in my heart. Asked for prayers for them. I watched as much as I could of the coverage. And just seeing the testimonies of his colleagues, his competitors, his coaches, and the young people that looked up to him. And it just made me realize, what sports can do when it's good. I think of St. Sebastian. I pray to St. Sebastian for athletes and, how it can bring families together and people of different, beliefs and backgrounds together. I just was overwhelmed. It brought back a good memory of me of like you know, the old CYO sports. And so I just a shout out to coaches. I don't know if anybody heard Father Joseph's homily this morning about the coach in Maryland who was in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I forget his name.
Morgan Wooten.
Yeah.
Morgan Wooten.
And just, you know, these are a lot of, there's a lot of people silently doing this that we don't see. You know, we're very discouraged if we watch the news and see all the awful things. But, you know, to the moms and dads that drive the kids to the sports and give up their time and coach. And I just feel like, you know, with everything COVID, you know, he had his challenges and haven't we all. But somebody in one of the coverages said, you know, he really lived his life fully, you know, when he got through these things, which he was. He did, you know, profess his assistance were from his faith, of course. And I think a lot of us, that's an example, because a lot of us get stuck and we, you know, that saying, you got to be living as you're forgiven, you know, and he just went on. And there really was a light there. And that came from his faith, I think, obviously, and the love of his family, which is all connected. But anyway, I just feel how important and what we can do, you know, what can be, you know, we look at the struggles that children have and the subs, everything that's out there, the warfare that the spiritual warfare that we go through and the poor kids that are getting hit. And I think sports is, it's a great thing. And especially if, you know, for girls and boys and everybody, but you know, the game of basketball is, you know, that his perseverance, he was just very fierce. And the fact that he carried that same torch to fight for his marriage, you know, he was just a good man in so many ways. And what a good example, I think, a good father. And, anyway, you know, I was a fan back in the day when there weren't so many teams. And so it's a long time in my memory. And I remember as a kid, I was a terrible athlete. But to go out and throw the ball and be on with other kids on the team means a lot. And so anyway, that was just on my heart. And I just felt like I wanted to share that.
Well, we're glad you did, Regina. Thank you so much. I did get your email the other day. In fact, I believe it was the story that you emailed to me that helped me to realize that he of his Catholic faith. But let's face it. I mean, there are pressures on athletes at every age, Debbie. We know this. Kids have a lot of pressure to win. But when you get on the big stage like that, you have to. So all you can do is try and imagine the pressure that a Kobe Bryant, a LeBron James, a Tom Brady carries around with them to perform and always, you know, under the microscope in their personal lives and so forth. And Kobe's story really for me is one of redemption and second chances. And I think it's a beautiful reminder to all of us. He did have the rape allegations, I believe, in 2003, if I'm not mistaken. And then according to that one story that Terry sent, it was a visit with a priest just a few years ago that really changed his life and turned him around in a positive direction. I think I noticed it. Now that I look back, Debbie, I see in his final few years of playing, he didn't play with that pressure, you know, that look on his face like, man, this is all about winning. We got to win championships. Obviously, he put everything he had into it, but it looked like he was having fun, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know you're having fun when you score 81 points or 60 points and like he did in a couple of games. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful ending to a tragic story, of course.
Well, and, you know, I just want to say something. I know you used Regina in your confirmation name, and, you know, it made me think of referencing Gianna in her short life of 13 years. You know, I believe her middle name was Maria. So she's named after the Blessed Mother as well, which I just thought was just so beautiful, and it brought tears to my eyes. And I just, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, this is a high profile athlete, somebody that everybody is, you know, there's stadiums that are, you know, now chanting his name, and, you know, there's candle lighting ceremonies all over the place. But I also think this is a really a beautiful time for us to highlight his Catholicism and his faith. And I think it's a great time for all of us. You know, he's so well known. And, you know, from what I understand, he would go on interviews and he would say that he's a practicing Catholic. That's what I heard from different sources, and very interesting. And this is a time, you know, you got to kind of wonder, is the good Lord trying to send us a message, you know, that yes, we can highlight all the, you know, scandalous things that are happening within the church, But we need to really highlight the true essence of what our Catholic Church is. And maybe in his passing, we can highlight that again. So I just wanted to say, Terry Regina, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us. We love your emails, and we just love that you're part of the Take Two family.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, it was in an article in GQ magazine recently where he said he made a very clear point of stating his Catholicism. So we can take solace in that as we all continue to pray for those, especially even the others. There were nine in all who lost their lives on that helicopter.
That's right.
Obviously, the focus is going to be on Kobe primarily, his daughter as well. But seven other people lost their lives, and their families are now turned upside down. So let's keep them all in our prayers as well. And wow. What a good show today.
It was a great show, and we're so sorry we couldn't get to everybody, Sergio and the others. We're so sorry. You can always call back at another time. You know, we try to do, you know, new topics each and every day. And so, like, tomorrow we're going to be talking about when you can actually call back, Sergio. This would be great. Personal proof of God's existence. Right, Jerry?
Well, tomorrow is the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest minds in the church ever. And he has his five ways, five proofs of God's existence. They're all kind of heady and intellectual and that sort of stuff, theological. But we're going to talk, we want to boil this down, okay? Has God really shown himself practically, realistically, in some concrete way in your life? How have you experienced God? And thus you know without a doubt that he exists. That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow.
We can't wait for tomorrow's show, and we hope you join us as well. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.